And this morning, I want to invite you for our time in God's Word. If you would turn with me in your Bible to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis 22. When you have guest speakers coming in, sometimes it's difficult when you're hearing sermons from all different portions of the Bible, and that can be a nice variety. But I thought I'm going to be here today. I'll be back in 2 weeks on the 22nd, and I wanted to keep somewhat of a theme with the messages that I'm bringing. The last time I spoke here, we looked at a name for God, the name El Elyon. And we saw the first occurrence of that name. And we saw that the name means God Most High. And we thought about all the practical ramifications of that. Well, we've been singing today about God's name. And today I want to highlight another name with you. And that is the name Jehovah Jireh. And so in Genesis chapter 22, that's where we'll begin our time as we think about this name for God. The reason I'm highlighting this, in the Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10, the Bible says that the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run to it, and they are safe. And we're living in a world today where we certainly need to be running to the name of the Lord. The things that we see happening around us, coming against us, we need to run to the name of the Lord. But God has more than one name. He reveals Himself with many different names so that we might fully understand His character, His attributes, why it is that you can trust Him. And so it's important for us to know all of those names and the significance of them. And today, we want to run to His name, and we want to look together at the name Jehovah Jireh. Genesis chapter 22. Maybe you've heard about the man who fell off of a cliff. And on his way down, he was able to grab onto a tree branch that was jutting out of the face of the rock. And as he hung there, reviewing his options, he started yelling, "Is anyone up there?" He was very surprised to hear a voice say to him, "Yes, this is God." Well, the man was greatly relieved, and he quickly stuttered, "Well, God, can you save me?" "Of course I can," responded God. Well, the man was really ecstatic now, and he shouted out, "Great, what should I do?" And the answer from the Almighty was not what he was expecting. God replied back to him, "Let go of the branch." Well, after a long period of silence, the man replied faintly, "Is there anyone else up there?" I want to ask you today, are you ever like that in your walk with the Lord? I know that I have been many times. What I mean is, we want God to help us, but we don't always want to do what He says. And specifically, we're not always interested in letting go of the things that we think are holding us up. It's very difficult to release our grip and give control of our lives, every part of them, to God. We kind of know intellectually that God will provide for us, but when it comes right down to real life situations, we're not really sure that He'll come through for us. Any of you ever wrestle with that? And so we hold on and we wonder if there's someone or something else that could help us. But I'm convinced if we really come to understand the name we're studying today, Jehovah Jireh, this tendency of ours can begin to change. And we can really trust God to provide no matter what's going on. This name, Jehovah Jireh, teaches us that God both foresees and then provides for our need of salvation and all of our day-to-day needs. Did some of you come to the service today with some deep needs in your life, in your heart? I know I have come that way today. And I pray that this name, Jehovah Jireh, will really cause you to run to it as you walk out of this place today. We're going to do three things in this message. The first is consider what is the meaning of the name Jehovah Jireh. Secondly, we'll look at the event that prompted the name. And then thirdly, what's the practical significance of this name as we prepare to live another week in real life seeking to live for the Lord? Let's start with the meaning of the name, Jehovah Jireh. Maybe you don't refer to God that way much in your times communing with Him, although I think we ought to. But what does it mean? Jehovah, the name Jehovah, in your Old Testament, you'll see it come up in all capital letters, L-O-R-D. When you see that in the Old Testament, it's the name Jehovah. That name Jehovah means this. It means to be, or the uncaused one, or the self-existent one. It's implying that God's eternal. No one created Him. He's always been to be the uncaused one or the self-existent one. Now, in your Old Testament, there are 10 combinations of that word Jehovah. Jehovah put together with other names, and we're looking at one of them today, and that's the name Jehovah Jireh. Jireh means, of course, to provide, but it also has the idea of to see. The fact that God not only provides, but He sees what it is that He needs to provide. That's Jehovah Jireh, the uncaused one, the self-existent one who provides. But let's look at the event that prompted the name. I mentioned to you a couple weeks ago, there's a law in Bible study called the law of first mention. That is, the first time that you read about a particular doctrine in the Bible or a particular word or a particular name, you should really highlight that because there are truths the first time something is mentioned that will help build on your understanding of a certain concept if you really notice the first time. There are a couple of special firsts in the passage we're about to read. One is the first time in your Bible the word worship is used. Now, a lot of people will say, I went to church to worship, but do we really understand worship? I think we'll learn something about it in the text today, and this is the first time that God revealed Himself with the name Jehovah Jireh. It's a well-known story, but I want you to look at it again, and if you are today sitting here and you're a parent, or you're a child, and that should encompass all of us, I want you to read then this story that you know very well. Seek to read it or hear it with fresh eyes and a fresh heart to imagine what God was asking of this man, Abraham, as you think about being a child of your parent, as you think about being a parent, whatever the case, let's come to it with fresh eyes. Let's read Genesis 22, 1 through 14. Here's the event that prompted the name. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder. And notice here's the first time the word worship is used in the Bible. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here I am, my son. Then he said, Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering." So the two of them went together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." So he said, "Here I am." And he said, "Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. Now here's the first time this name for God is ever revealed. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh. In the Hebrew text, that's what it says. In your English Bible, it says, "The Lord will provide." As it is said to this day, "In the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided." I want to highlight just a few things about this event. Again, it's a well-known story, but let's remind ourselves of a few truths coming out of it. You notice that it says in verse 1, God tested Abraham. I want to have us keep in mind this morning, God doesn't tempt us as Satan does. You know, Satan tempts us, wanting in every way for us to fall away from God, to be plunged into sin, to get out of the will of God. But God tests us in order to bring out the best. All of us are in a school called the School of Faith. And in that school of faith, there are occasional tests that come. And without these tests, we would never know where we're at spiritually. But our faith is not really tested until God asks us to bear what seems unbearable, or to do what seems unreasonable, or expect what seems impossible. Is that happening with any of you right now? You're going through a testing and you feel like you're having to bear what seems unbearable, or to do what seems unreasonable, or to expect what seems impossible. I have a couple of those situations in my own life right now. I feel like I'm in the school of faith again, and maybe that's where you're at. But that's good for us, and God's wanting to bring out the best. Notice in verse 2, four phrases that God uses there. He uses the phrase, "your son," "your only son." Then he uses the name Isaac, and then that phrase, "whom you love." And it's as though God was saying, "Now, Abraham, we have walked together for many years, and now you have the son that you have longed for, that I promised I would give to you. But tell me, Abraham, is this son more important to you than your relationship with me? Is there anything in my life or yours today where God may be saying to us on this Communion Sunday, is there anything right now in your life that's more important to you than me?" And then he uses three words in verse 2, the words "take," "go," and "offer." And those words must have taken Abraham's breath away. Because Abraham understood that a burnt offering was a total sacrifice. I mean, the sacrifice would be completely consumed by fire, and it signified the complete dedication of the person who was making the sacrifice. This was costly to Abraham, the most costly sacrifice he could ever consider. And not only that, it was confusing, I'm sure. Because Isaac was the crucial foundation stone for a wonderful promise God gave Abraham that through that son, all the nations of the world would be blessed. So it was costly and it was confusing. Any of you in that place today where you sense God's asking you to make a costly sacrifice and you're even confused by all that's going on? Well, that's where Abraham was. And I want to also highlight, he says in verse 2 to go to the land of Moriah. Just to remind you, the region of Moriah is where Jerusalem is now located. And he says to him, I want you to go on one of the mountains which I shall tell you. There are at least 7 hills or mounts that form the citadel of the city of Jerusalem. And I'll come back to that name Moriah in a little bit. Now, that law of first mention. Notice we find in verse 5, the first time the word worship is used. They go on this journey from Beersheba to Moriah. It was about 50 miles. It would take about 3 days to get there. And here we find the first instance of the word worship. Sometimes I feel in my own life I have a very weak definition of worship. Sometimes I'll think to myself, well, I went on Sunday for an hour and I worshiped. I've worshiped. But what I want you to notice in this text, worship in this case, when he said, we are going to go yonder and worship, it involved a willingness to surrender all to God, holding nothing back. That's real worship. It's obediently giving God what he wants, what he expects, and trusting him to provide whatever we need. That's real worship. In our definition of worship, this is the text to begin with, no doubt. So he said that we will go and worship, and then notice he says, we will come back to you. I'm sure it's been pointed out to you before. Here we see Abraham's faith shining, trusting God's promise and God's provision, that somehow it had to be reconciled. God, you said through my son, all the nations of the world would be blessed, yet you're saying to have him be a burnt offering. I don't know how you're going to do it. But somehow, he trusted God would provide. And I want you also to notice that Isaac asked a question in verse 7. He said, where is the lamb? And notice at the end of the story that we read, it wasn't a lamb that God provided in this story, was it? It was a ram. Hold that thought in your mind and we'll come back to that. But Isaac said, where's the lamb? And Abraham's answer was, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. But later in the story, it was a ram God provided. We'll come back to that thought. Of course, as the story ends, Abraham passes this test and he calls the place, the Lord will provide, Jehovah Jireh. At just the right time, God came through for Abraham. And why did he name the place Jehovah Jireh? Because God provided a substitute for Isaac so that Isaac wouldn't have to die. Now let's think about the practical significance of this name together. Because it's not enough just to read this story and say that's nice to know that that's a name for God. We have to run to this name. Because we're all going to find ourselves in situations where we're being tested. And it's confusing. And we're not sure what's going on, and we have to trust that the Lord will provide. So let's think about the practical significance of the name. Now, question for you. Where else do we read of Mount Moriah in the Bible? God asked him to go to a specific mount. Where else do we read of it? Well, turn with me to 2 Chronicles, if you would, chapter 3. 2 Chronicles, chapter 3. In verse 1, this is a significant insight from the Scriptures. 2 Chronicles 3:1. Where else do we read about it? Well, here's the other place. 2 Chronicles 3:1. If you're there, here's what the Bible says. Now Solomon began to build the house of the Lord, the temple, at Jerusalem, notice where, on Mount Moriah. So the same place that God took Abraham to offer Isaac as a burnt offering, and at that place, that's where God was revealed as Jehovah Jireh, that same mount, Solomon built that temple. And it says in the verse where the Lord had appeared to his father David at the place that David had prepared on the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. Now think about this. On that Mount Moriah, every temple sacrifice for sin would echo Abraham's words, "The Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, in the Mount of the Lord, it'll be provided." At that temple, God provided a covering, an atonement for the sins of his people. Every lamb, every goat, every sacrifice would point to one ultimate sacrifice that we have been celebrating today. By the way, when our Lord Jesus walked up that hill called Calvary, that hill of Golgotha, that hill was just a few hundred feet away from where Abraham took Isaac, where all of those sacrifices, all those years were made at the temple. That is where our Lord went to make the ultimate sacrifice. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 4 and 5 says, "Since it's impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins, God prepared a body for his son." That's what God did. And you guys know that at the appointed time, on the day of the Passover, God took his son, his only son whom he loved, and he led him to Mount Calvary. And there he laid him on the cross. But this time there was no voice from heaven to stop the hand of death. This time there was no ram in the thicket to take his place, because this was the Lamb. This was the provision of Jehovah Jireh for the sins of the whole world. Nobody could take the place of Jesus on the cross. Back when Abraham took Isaac to Mount Moriah, God provided a ram. But remember, Isaac said, "Where is the lamb?" And it took a long time. But eventually, John the Baptist in John chapter 1, verse 29, when he saw Jesus, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." And what man could never provide, Jehovah Jireh did. A substitute for our sins so we could be forgiven. Pope Alexander VI had a very famous son, Cesare Borgia, became an Italian soldier, military leader, very famous individual, but when he came to his deathbed, he spoke these words. He said, "When I lived, I provided for everything but death. Now I must die, and I am unprovided to die." What an interesting statement. I am unprovided to die. Now think about this. Within certain limits, people can provide for everything they need while they live. If they've got enough resources, within certain limits, people can provide for everything they need while they live, but they can't provide for death. For death, there is only one provider, Jehovah Jireh. He's the only one. And it's interesting, that word Jireh means not only to provide, but it also means to see. Jehovah Jireh foresaw our need for salvation, and he made provision through the death and resurrection of his son. But we should also remind ourselves today, he didn't just provide for your death. This God, whose name is the Lord will provide, Jehovah Jireh, he is ready and wants to provide for your day-by-day needs. I'll just point out a few passages today, because isn't it true that so many of our worries in life, so many of the things that we feel we've got to find some resource to fix this, It comes down to these day-by-day things that can get us so stressed out and actually move us away from God as we try to scurry around and figure out, how will I fix this? If you turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, part of that great Sermon on the Mount, I want to just remind you of some things about Jehovah Jireh today, because I don't know most of you very well at all. But I'm fairly certain that most of us came in today with some pretty significant needs. And you have to run to this name, Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. Notice with me Matthew chapter 6. This is right before Jesus was teaching that Lord's Prayer, teaching his disciples how to pray. And if we start in verse 7, Jesus says, "And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words." Now notice verse 8. "Therefore do not be like them, for your Father, Jehovah Jireh, knows the things you have need of before you ask Him." Praise God for that. And then he teaches them this prayer. "In this manner, knowing that he knows your needs, in this manner, therefore pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread." You're the one that meets needs, so we're looking to you. And of course, the rest of the prayer is so significant too. But I'm making the point here by having you turn there. He knows your needs. While you're in Matthew 6, drift down to verses 31 through 33. Are you worried today about what's coming up this week and how certain needs are going to be met? How will it all work out? Notice what Jesus says here. Verse 31 of Matthew 6, "Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things." Isn't it comforting to know that He knows, He sees, and He'll provide? Let's keep reading. "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." I'm always comforted by Matthew chapter 10, verses 29 and 30, as we think about Jehovah Jireh. Look at Matthew 10, 29 and 30. These might be good passages to write down today. You may need to turn to them this week when you have moments of great need. Matthew 10, 29 and 30. Jesus, still speaking, says, "Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered." You see, the name Jireh means to see and to provide. He sees everything that's going on with you, even the things you can't see, and He's already making provision for you. The Lord will provide. How about Romans 8:32? Now, we could go on and on in the New Testament about God's provision, but these are some of my favorite. Romans 8:32, how about this one? "He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things?" Not all the things that we want, but all the things that we need. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." I don't lack any good thing from Him. Jehovah Jireh. Finally then, Philippians 4:19. We think about this great name. He cares about your day-to-day needs, whatever they might be. Philippians 4:19 says this. Paul says, "And my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Let me give just a few reminders as we are summarizing the significance of this name. Think about Abraham, and let's ask this question: where does the Lord provide our needs? I want to remind you and myself, He provides for our needs in the place of His assignment. I want to be careful to say here, Abraham was at the right place, exactly where God told him to be, at Mount Moriah, and therefore God could meet his needs. Guys, we don't have any right to expect the provision of God if we're not in the will of God. If we're stepping outside the bounds of his will and saying, meet my needs, it doesn't work that way. Where does he meet our need? In the place of his assignment, as we stand in his will, as we walk in obedience to him. That's where he meets our needs. And that was true with Abraham. When does God meet our needs? Well, I want to remind us of this. He meets them just when we have a need and not a minute before. When you bring your request to the throne of grace, the Bible says God will answer with mercy and grace to help in time of need. Hebrews 4:16, in time of need. Have you noticed that sometimes it looks like God waits until the last minute to send help? Has that ever occurred to you? Seems that way to me, but that's only from our human point of view. God is never late. And sometimes the delay is simply God preparing us for that answer that is to come, for that provision, and we have to remember that. To whom does God give his provision? He gives it to those who trust him and obey his instructions. When you're doing the will of God, you have the right to expect the provision of God. And why does God do this? Why does he meet our needs? It's for the great glory of his name. That's why Jesus taught in the Lord's Prayer, "Hallowed be thy name." That's the first petition. That's what we want. I want you to get the glory. And when we trust God to meet our needs, he gets the glory. You know, we're praying for Israel right now. Obviously, we saw yesterday, heard in the news, and I spent some time reading this morning about the horrific things happening to Israel. And I've been praying, burdened to pray for Israel, as I'm sure you are, that this would be yet another thing that turns people in Israel to the real Messiah. Israel has had this sad history of when trouble comes, they looked to other resources for help other than Jehovah Jireh. And one of the passages that highlights that the most, and would you please turn there with me, and I want us to look at it because we're not that different from Israel in the sense that when trouble hits, we immediately begin to think in our human resources, where should I turn to for help? Instead of looking to Jehovah Jireh. And so in Isaiah 31, verse 1, we find this important passage for us. It was written for Israel. Isaiah spoke the words, but we're just like them. When trouble hits, we tend to look to other resources to have our needs met. It could be people. It could be our bank account. It could be a certain doctor. It could be all these different things that we think, oh, this is where my provision comes from. But the Lord will provide. We run to that name. So here's what Isaiah wrote, Isaiah 31, verse 1. Woe to those who go down to Egypt for help. Israel often did that. And rely on horses, who trust in chariots because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong, but who do not look to the Holy One of Israel, nor seek the Lord. Could I ask you today, whatever your circumstances are, are you trying to go to a chariot or horseman or Egypt, whatever it might be in our lives, some other resource to get our help in time of need? Look to the Holy One of Israel. Seek the Lord, Jehovah Jireh. You know what I'm learning, and I have not learned this fully, but I am learning that God is a provider and he always supplies the right thing at the right time and at the right place. God is never late, but he's seldom early. He's never late, but he is seldom early, and he does not cater to our timetable. God provided manna for the Israelites in the wilderness. He provided oil and flour for that widow of Zarephath. God loves to come through for his people, but often not until they let go. Do you fully trust Jehovah Jireh? I pray that we're all on a journey of running to that name more and more. There was a house that was on fire, and there was a young girl who was trapped in her upstairs bedroom. And as she leaned out the window, her father, who was on the ground, said to her, "Jump, I'll catch you." Well, the little girl was afraid, and she replied, "But I can't see you." To which the father shouted, "That's okay, I can see you." And so that little girl jumped to safety, not because she could see, but because she trusted the voice of her father who told her to jump. She was willing to let go. And it was in the letting go that she was ultimately provided for. Can I ask you, as I ask myself, is there anything that you are holding on to today? Something that's sort of your Isaac, that you're reliant on and trusting in rather than God? God wants us to trust in Him, not in the gifts He has given to us. Don't miss that statement. God wants us to trust in Him, not in the gifts He has given to us. Trust God to provide for your needs, and when you do, you'll find Him to be, always to be, Jehovah Jireh. Before we sing our closing song, I certainly want to ask today, have you gone to Jehovah Jireh and by faith in Jesus Christ and His death, burial, and resurrection, have you by faith obtained the provision for your sins, for your death? I would hate it if anybody here in this service would cry out like Cesare Borgia had to cry out, "Now I must die and I'm unprovided to die." Laura and I have a friend who lives in the area whose whole life has rejected Jesus Christ. And we've pleaded with him on a number of occasions to trust Jesus as his Savior. And he's refused. And he's often said to me, "The things that I have done, they're so horrific, they're so messed up, there is no way that there is a grace that would save me." Our friend got diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, is going downhill quickly. And in that state, another friend of ours went to him and pleaded with him one more time and said, "God's grace is sufficient for you. God's provided for your sins. It doesn't matter what you've done or who you are, where you have been." And I am so overjoyed today to say that our friend on his deathbed, after years of rejecting Christ, finally saw that grace was for him, sufficient for him. The Lord provided for him, and he's provided for you and for the sins of the whole world. And what you must do is believe. Jesus said in John 3:36, "He who believes in the Son, who he is and what he's done, he who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." The Lamb has come, and he died on the cross for you. Have you obtained by faith that great provision? Have you put your faith in Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection for you? I invite you to do so today, because God's name is Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. Let's pray and then sing our last song today. Lord, I don't know what's happening in everyone's life here today. I just know where I'm at with you, what's going on with me and my family. I don't know what's going to come this week, even later today. But Lord, I thank you so much for this name of yours revealed in Genesis 22. And God, I pray that we'll run to that great name this week. When we're having our personal devotions this week, may we come to you in prayer and even use that name. May we hold on to these promises that we've seen in the Bible today from the lips of Jesus himself about your provision for us. And thank you that you not only provide, but you see. You see, and because you see everything, you meet the need. Now, Lord, help us to let go of the things that we trust in other than you. Help us to step out in faith like Abraham did. And God, may you see in each of our lives that we do fear you, we respect you, we're in awe of you. And help us to seek you, the Holy One of Israel. And now as we close singing about your name, I thank you that we've learned or been reminded of another aspect of it that we can run to. And we praise you for this precious name and for the precious Lamb, your Son, the Lord Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen.